I have to say it is a privilege to be with you, to worship our Lord and risen Savior Jesus, and we can follow all the rabbit trails after service of how are we connected with our brethren here, you as brothers and sisters in Christ in the RPCNA, having served in Japan and elsewhere. But our attention has been drawn to the Word of God here in Mark chapter 15, and us realizing that you have been working your, as a congregation, working through this book of Mark. We have here now in this chapter 15, the beginning of Christ's final trial and deliverance up to be crucified. This particular passage we really find in all four of the Gospels, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Mark, in his Gospel here, perhaps the most shortened version of them. But we do see here the way in which Christ himself, or in this particular trial, we ask the question to ourselves, who's really on trial? Who is on trial? There is a story, it comes from some missionaries in Africa. There was an African priest, or chief, was visiting the mission. And outside the missionary's hut, there was a mirror hanging on a tree. And the chief looked at the mirror and he saw this grisly, painted, threatening-looking feature. And he asked the question, who is that horrible looking person inside the tree? So he asked the missionary, can I have this? And he said, how much can I pay you for it? And he said, no, it's really not for sale. And he said, no, I have to have that mirror. I must. And so he finally, the missionary capitulated to his request. And now he took that and he said, I'll never have it making faces at me again. And he threw it down and smashed it. A picture of what the religious establishment did to Jesus. Only the cross magnified their reflection. And when we see what the people did to Jesus, perhaps we might see ourselves to a certain extent. And walking with our faith, in walking without faith in Jesus, the guilt of rejecting the King. Following the scene where Judas has betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, the price of a slave, we now see that Peter also has denied his Lord three times. And while Jesus is being interrogated at Annas and then before Caiaphas, and now finally he is brought before Pilate, the Roman governor. Jesus, the one who is rejected by the Sanhedrin, the priests, the religious leaders of the Jews. Jesus, rejected by Pilate and rejected by the crowd. Let us look at this as we see how Jesus is rejected. Caiaphas, or Annas, and Caiaphas, that rude and sly, and also now Pilate, the crafty, superstitious, self-serving or self-seeking person. And finally, we see after Pilate, he is sent to Herod Antipas. But first, as we see him rejected by the priests or the religious leaders, the Sanhedrin, who had gathered together sometime early in the morning, 3 a.m. to 6 a.m., and they declared him to be worthy of blasphemy. Are you the Son of God? And you say, as you say, I am. The Son of God, the Messiah. And Jesus answered, as you say it. Well, they may have it interpreted different, but when Jesus said, as you say it, he is saying, I am the King of the Jews. But I am not a king as any of you would understand. For he understood that his kingdom is not of this world. His authority comes from above and not from you or any other men who would have accused him. But it's not so clear to Pilate, as we see Pilate waffle between the declaration of the Jewish leaders and the cries of the stirred up crowd. Pilate, a Gentile, did not know who Jesus was. He had not seen the miracles. He had not heard Jesus preach. Pilate, before Jesus, he had a decision to make. He is now confronted with the Redeemer of Israel, the Redeemer of God's people. Well, we may ask, and some of you may know, but who was this Pilate? Well, we know very little about him before he was appointed as the governor of Palestine, but most likely he had held some series of political positions high up in government, military positions as well, and had climbed in the Roman political ladder. And now he has been sent to Palestine as the governor in Judea. Generally, most commentaries on his life and service paint him as a very incompetent and very heavy-handed governor. He governed for about 10 years, from 26 A.D. to 36 A.D., and as the Jewish historian Josephus accounts, tells us that Pilate was responsible for the turmoil that marked his career as a Palestinian governor. This one incident of what he did, he took the Jewish offerings from the temple and which was called the Corban, and he took that to build an aqueduct to serve his conveniences. He also had the Galileans killed as they offered sacrifices by some of his non-uniformed soldiers. He lost his position when he ordered his cavalry to attack some Samaritans who had gathered at Mount Gerizim to offer up sacrifices. Power was his, he was driven by power. He was driven by that insatiable lust for political strength and power, control. He placed his career before everyone and everything. He lived to exalt himself. His life was about himself, Pilate. He was deposed as governor, exiled to Northern Europe, and where tradition has it, he committed suicide. He lost his power, he lost his position and pride, and nothing for which to live. One of the more tragic figures of human history. But look at his encounter with Jesus. Jesus, as Isaiah said, was oppressed and afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb before to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, he did not open his mouth. Pilate tried to get Jesus to defend himself. But Jesus stood in royal silence. Pilate was amazed, but he knew Jesus was innocent of all charges. The other gospel writers fill in the gap. In Luke 23:6-12, Pilate sent Jesus to Herod, and where he was questioned, he mocked by the soldiers, and again, Jesus refused to answer Herod. Herod sent him back to Pilate, convinced of Jesus' innocence. And John tells us that Pilate took Jesus into the palace to question him privately. Answering Pilate, Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." Pilate rightly perceives that Jesus, who is accused, the Jews who are accusing Jesus of their are simply envious of Jesus himself and full of hate. And Pilate takes steps to release him. But the Jews offer to teach Pilate the truth. Pilate's response is that epitaphic, "What is truth?" And he walks out on Jesus. Pilate turns his back on the truth, turns his back on salvation. He permits the Jews to take Jesus away to be crucified. Pilate was on trial, but he ignored the truth. He even ignored the warnings of his wife. "Don't have anything to do with that Jesus. You get mixed up with him and it's going to cost you your life." He ignored the fact that the Jews were lying and mercy and merely wanted Jesus dead. He ignored the truth because he wanted to hold on to his position with some kind of power over the people. Does not power corrupt? Pilate was weak and cowardly. He valued position and power above truth. More concerned about pleasing the Jews than protecting an innocent man. A coward, he placed his position in pride and person before his own soul. Salvation was there, but too much pride and cowardice to humbly submit to the Savior as the way, the truth, and the life. And we need to admit that we are oftentimes weak and cowardly too. That we cannot stand on our own, that we need a Savior. And how often do we cave in to the world? The world's standards to measure success, intelligence, morality, and truth. But we also see the king is rejected by the people. Pilate is convinced that Jesus is innocent, and he tries to free Jesus without any political backlash. So he offered the crowd a choice. Release Jesus or Barabbas. Well, who is this Barabbas? Well, we've learned that Barabbas was in prison, had been arrested because of creating an insurrection and murder. He was a revolutionary. He wanted to overthrow the Roman government, and he was subject to death by the Roman government. Barabbas, son of the Father. Jesus was the Son of God. The crowd was given a choice: the Son of the Father or the Son of God. Perhaps we would say that was a no-brainer. Is it a choice between Charles Manson or Pat Boone? But Pilate was wrong. The crowd shouted, "Give us Barabbas." What should he do with Jesus? And the crowd yelled, "Crucify him." He called down a curse. They called down a curse upon themselves. Pilate gives in to the will of the people. Have your way with him. The crowd, there to see Barabbas die. And Jesus' followers are not a privy of this early morning trial, as it were. So we're not even aware that he had been have a trial, let alone being convicted. But the crowd did not care about Jesus. They cried, "Set Barabbas free." Jesus or Barabbas? Jesus, the Son of God. Majority is not always right, is it? The crowd had the majority of the day. The majority in Pilate's opinion. But majority is not always right. For Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. The truth is not a majority vote. It is Christ. Will we be the ones? We are on trial. We too are asked, who is Jesus? Is he who he says he is? Do we truly believe that he is the Son of God? That he is God himself, become man, to be our perfect substitute in dying on the cross for our sins. The perfect man. The release of Barabbas at the expense of Jesus. In this way, we can also see the flip side, you might say, of the gospel, but really see the gospel. Jesus was the sacrificial lamb necessary to set a person free. The irony of the gospel. The sinless one was sacrificed so that the sinful might be set free. Yes, Barabbas was set free at the expense of Jesus. And here too, we are set free at the expense of Jesus. We deserved, as Barabbas has deserved, the judgment. But Christ, as our substitute, has taken that judgment for us. It seems ironic, yet it is true. Jesus, the Son of God, became man, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. But he rose again and ascended into heaven for our justification and our eternal hope and eternal joy. The crowd or the majority isn't always right. And thanks be to God that Jesus was not deterred from the cross. That he went to the cross willingly. He knew what was before him. But it had to be that you and I might have the forgiveness of our sins. He who knew no sin became sin for us in his death on the cross. Thanks be to God that he did not shrink at the cross, but he was willing to die. The injustice, yet justice, was served for us. Thank you, Jesus. And may we, as we stand on trial, realize that there is one who has stood in the gap for us, who has taken our deserved punishment, that we, through his death and his life, might have eternal life. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, as we read your word, we